morning.
Good morning.
Today I'll be reading Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Thank you, Adley, for reading the word to us this morning. Yeah, Pat and Rhonda aren't here either. I don't know if she told you. She won a trip to California from trivia. Remember that trip? A trivia. Yeah. Yeah. So that's where they're heading to California. All right. If you'd like to stand, please do so now. Lift your voices and hearts to the Lord in praise. Now the men will start out and the women will end up.
Thank you.
trust in all you are. And I would give the world to tell your story, 'cause I know that you called me. I know that you called me. I lost myself in love within your promise. I won't hide it. I won't.
Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. We've heard these words many times, but did you know those words were commonly used in Jesus' day as part of the wedding ceremony? The man in this ceremony was saying to the woman, "Eat this bread. It represents how I pledge my body and my life to you. My solemn promise to you is that I will protect you, defend you, and provide for you. I give my body to you." The disciples, having hearing these words at weddings many times, they were in doubt. They were no doubt puzzled when the master used them with no bride or groom or wedding party in sight. They were not puzzled after Jesus left them, though. Just before he ascended in a cloud to heaven, he promised something else with the words, "I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Jesus Christ is our husband. He's our provider, our protector, our shield, and our shelter. This bread we eat is his promise to us, his covenant guarantee. By this bread, he says, "I do." The juice we drink is his reminder of his blood that was shed for us. The shedding of blood has always been required to cover up sin. God again provided for his bride when he offered up his son as a perfect living sacrifice for us. So by Christ's blood, the covenant between God and all people who call on his name was sealed for all eternity. Let's pray. Dear God, we come together before your throne as your bride. We thank you for all the provisions you have promised through Christ's sacrifice on the cross. We ask that you will bless this bread and this juice, and may we always be reminded of your great love. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters. Wherever you would call me, take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters. Call me, take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
Goodness, Adelie, that was beautiful. Thank you, thank you. Jonathan, you were okay. What a beautifully gifted family. Kids, if you're ready to go down to junior church with Mary, you can head down there. Or if you just love listening to me, you're welcome to stay up here. Don't know how I'm going to beat that act, but we're going to try. But she's got me pumped up, ready to preach the word. Picture, if you would, in your mind's eye, you've just finished a 10-mile hike on a 95-degree day, and on the entire journey, you haven't had anything to drink. Stumbling with thirst, you come to your father's house, and you ask for water. With love and concern, he brings you a cold pitcher of water and a glass, and he tells you, take whatever you want. I've got plenty. I've got lots more. Drink all you want. With a chuckle, he tells you that his well is full. What do? You take a couple of sips and you quit. Drink more, he insists. You must be parched. But you decline because you don't want to impose on his great generosity. When you leave, you are still thirsty. And your father is hurt and disappointed. Why did you do that? Why do we do that spiritually? Your heavenly Father wants you to experience fullness. He wants you to experience everything that he has to give you, to offer you. He wants you to have the fullness of life, the fullness of joy, the fullness of God himself. And yet, we only take a few sips, week by week, of his living water. I think the importance of this story illustrates that we are the deciding factor when it comes to fully experiencing God's fullness. You see, God's done his part. The problem is with us not fully taking advantage of his great love, his great mercy, his great generosity, and his great fullness. He has offered all of himself to us. He knows that our tanks get empty at times. He knows that we are parched because of life circumstances. And he wants to give of himself to you and to me. The good news is this. Many religions have what they believe are holy sites or holy buildings, but the God of love has chosen you to be his dwelling place. You, me, if we are willing, if you are willing. The Lord is looking for a person who is humble before him. He's looking for a person who takes care of his word and takes his word very seriously, even to the point of obedience. God and his love will live inside of this person for all eternity. You are created for love. You are made in the image of God, the God of love. He doesn't say, I love. He says, I am love. And you were created in his image. Your purpose is to give love and receive love. We know that through the apostles and especially through Jesus' teaching. God desires to fill us with the fullness of himself. This morning I want to read Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 16. If you have your Bibles, if you want to underline it, highlight it, and go back to it later this week. But I truly believe in the passage we're going to see the process and the result when Christ enters into us, literally into us, and how he wants badly for us to enjoy his complete fullness. If you have your Bibles, if you look at Ephesians chapter 3, I'm just going to read verses 16 through 19 there. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. All of that he just talked about is so that we may be filled with the fullness of God. You see, when we're experiencing the fullness of God, first and foremost, in verse 16, we see that we are strengthened with inward peace and the power of God's love. When we are truly walking day by day in the fullness of God, we are going to experience inward peace. And boy, are we going to experience power. We've preached it before. I've preached it in the last couple weeks about the power just in Jesus' name. When we just speak his name, there's power. But when he is dwelling in the hearts of his people, there is power that I'm afraid we don't tap into regularly on a daily basis. He gives us the power for inner strength. Whatever we think we don't have the capability of doing or getting through, Jesus says, yeah, you do, because you have me. Lo, I will be with you always, to the very end of the world. We have the power to overcome temptation. We talked about that last Sunday. And how Jesus always gives us a way out through the Holy Spirit. We have the power to overcome hardship. And every one of us knows and understands hardship. And too often we try to get through that hardship on our own without fully experiencing, again, the fullness of God filling us up during those times. He gives us the power to overcome evil, the power to overcome life circumstances. We experience life circumstances every single day. Some of them we find great joy in them. Other days we find great hardship in life circumstances. Some days we are given things. Some things are taken away. When we are filled with the fullness of God, that doesn't affect how we worship him, and it doesn't affect our relationship with him. He gives us the power to be his witnesses here on earth, witnesses of his great gospel, witnesses of his great love of what he's done for you. Our eyes are open when we are full of his goodness, when we are full of his fullness of his grace. We have power to be witnesses of that. We have power to be holy. We talked about that last week. It's very easy for somebody with low self-image, low self-esteem, whatever the case may be, to say there's no way I can be holy. Yeah, you can. Being holy is not being perfect. It's being set aside by God. Experiencing His riches, experiencing His fullness, and going to the world and being who He's called you to be, His child. He's given us the power to stand for what is right. Boy, do we need that in these times. Too often we just sit back and watch the world do what the world's going to do, and we don't stand up for what is right and what is wrong. He gives us the power to make a difference. It's easy to sit back at home and look at the craziness of the world and say, what can I do? What can just one Christian do? In our passage this morning, he doesn't talk about just the individual. He talks about also when we're linked together, when the saints come together, there is power. And there is power to make a difference in the life of people, in the lives of the world. He gives us the power to understand. I find it very disappointing when I have Christians come and say, you know, I just don't understand the Word of God. I don't understand what I'm reading. I don't understand the message. I don't understand the Sunday school lesson. God promises us with the Holy Spirit, when we go before Him, when we call on His name, He will open our eyes, open our heart to understand what it is He wants for you, what He wants to tell you, what His will is for your life. When we are experiencing this fullness, we understand His grace, His mercy, and His will. He gives us the power to achieve all things. Anything He's asked you to accomplish, He will give you the power to achieve. And finally, He will give you the power to become. Become whoever He has called you to be. If He's called you to be a teacher, a preacher, a host, a hostess, a driver, whatever He's called you to be, a father, a mother, a son, a daughter, whatever, He will give you the power to become what He's called you to be. So when we're experiencing the fullness of God, we are going to be strengthened with Him, with inner peace and the power of God's love in our life. Number two, if you're following along in the outline, when we're experiencing the fullness of God, we're going to be rooted and established in love. And that word love again is agape, agape love, God's love. God is the very definition of love. I love when the Bible, the scripture says, who can fathom the love of God? And we can sing songs about God's love, we can preach about God's love, we can meditate on God's love. I don't think we'll fully understand it till we're in His full glory and in His full presence in heaven someday. But boy, when we experience His fullness here on earth, He plants our feet and we are rooted and established first and foremost in His love. Rooted, that word rooted, suggests a steady position, a habit of faith and love, like a tree rooted in the soil. Love is like the soil, rich, deep, in which all the trees are rooted. We all know that. Occasionally you see a tree that's growing out of a rock. I find that very strange, but it happens. But trees put their deep roots down in good soil. Too many Christians want the fruit of the Spirit without being rooted in spiritual things. They want the blessings of God. They just want the natural talent of God, and they want the ability to do this and go there, and then, but don't plant themselves in spiritual matters. Don't put their roots down in God's living Word. They just want it to magically happen. God says, first give yourself to Me. Give all of you to Me. Plant yourself in My love, in My grace, and then I will grow you. Too often we don't want to be rooted, though, in God. We want to be rooted in what we're comfortable with, what we want, and what we desire. also experiencing the fullness of God, we have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. I love that verse there. Paul especially wants them to lay hold of God's immeasurable love, a love that fits all things, all circumstances, all people. When Christ died on the cross, and we meditated about it at communion time this morning, that love that was shown on the cross fits all people in all situations, in all communities in the world. Far too many Christians think of God as an angry judge or a stern master instead of a loving Father. He has to show different sides of Him. Sometimes we need discipline. Sometimes He needs to show His power. But He is all loving, all caring, and wants the very best for you. And I love when He says, power together with the saints. We find the fullness that so many deeply devoted followers enjoy. That doesn't always happen just on your own. That's why Jesus gave us the gift of the church. To strengthen us, to empower us, so that we can fully grasp what He's talking about, love. Love one another. That's not a romantic love. That's not a mother to a child type of love. This is agape, supernatural love. The love that allows you to care for your enemy. The love that allows you to consider everyone else around you better than you. It's the kind of love that allows you to give everything you are and everything you have to the benefit of someone else. To show God's love and His mercy to a world that needs to know even what those words mean in the eyes of a loving God. So number four, experiencing the fullness of God, we experience the indwelling of Christ. This is one of my favorite parts of it. When we're truly understanding, when we're truly experiencing the fullness of God, man, this is when Christ just chooses to dwell inside of us. I love verse 14, or verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Christ, the essence, the very essence of love, dwelling in us, and so filling our hearts with true love. We live in a world that doesn't fully understand what love is. And we use that word kind of flippantly in our homes, and our kids kind of tease us. We had lasagna one time, and I told Mary, I love lasagna. And my 6-year-old son at the time, Jaden, said, well, why don't you marry it, Dad? My response was, I would if I could. Of course we don't love lasagna. We don't love a car. At least we shouldn't, the way God set up what love is. I wouldn't lay down my life for a dish of lasagna. I wouldn't lay down my life for a new car. But I would, in the name of Jesus, lay down my life for another human being who needed Christ more than me, or needed whatever more than me. The effects of the indwelling of Christ are just incredible. When you are experiencing Christ dwelling in you and changing you from the inside out, and the way you see people in the world, not as enemies. Man, we're living in a time right now where everybody is your enemy. If they don't think politically like you do, they're the enemy. If they're not on the same football team as you, man, they are the enemy and you hate them. I mean hate them. How silly is that? And this verse here tells us, and the scripture tells us, that when Christ is indwelt, we see the breadth of promise and blessing in Christ. When He talks about the length of God's love. He's talking about reaching to the ends of everything. Christ's love has no end. It goes as far as the east is from the west, just like he forgives our sins. When he talks about the depth, Christ's love goes to the he goes down to the lowest of the low. He goes to the pit and loves you in the pit to pull you out of the pit of death, to experience his joy, his mercy, and his grace. When he talks about the height of his love, rising up to the heavens, to heavenly places, and God even gives us that vision through John, when he gave John his vision in Revelation. To have a glimpse of how high God's love goes. What a blessing. To know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. You have that gift when you're experiencing the fullness of God. The world that lives outside of Jesus Christ does not understand how much God loves them. You do, because of the gift of Jesus Christ, because of the example he showed you. Not only did you realize when he, just hours before he was going to experience agony on the cross, he was on his hands and knees washing feet. You know how high and how low and how deep that love goes? Instead of being pampered and showered with blessing, he was being a blessing to other people in the time when he knew what was coming next. Literally, hours later, he was going to be tortured and crucified for you and for me. And he was on his hands and knees washing dirty feet. When we have the indwelling of Christ in us, we are filled with all of the fullness of God. It doesn't get any better than that. God chooses to fill us with his fullness, or offer his fullness, that you and I may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. He wants us to have that. This is God's ultimate purpose for our life. If you ever wondered what your purpose is, or why he created you, he wants to share all of him with all of you. Plain and simple, it doesn't get any more complicated than that. He created you to give all of himself to you. So why live like paupers when God has given us his fullness? We put God, and I've said this many times, we put God in this little box. And we don't even tap in to his fullness most days. We get a little bit here and a little bit there. We take a sip here, a sip there. And sometimes we go to bed at the end of the night spiritually thirsty. When we had all day to feast on his fullness. Because it's not a one-time filling. You don't just come up, offer your life to Jesus Christ, get baptized, saved by his blood, and then you no longer need to be filled. That's not true. It's a constant refueling by God. Why? Because we have a constant need. We are human beings in a fallen world. We need Jesus Christ. We need a perfect Savior every day. There are always things in our life which are going to drain us, challenge us, wear us down. That just happens. It's part of living life here on earth. And when you get to that point, when you get to the point where you are drained, you're finished, you've had enough, you don't know if you can take another step, you have a choice of what you're going to do. See, being filled with the fullness of God's love only comes when we are able to accept who we are today in Christ. That's the thing we ought to go home today and examine. Who am I today in Christ? As long as we see ourselves as the old man or old woman, in our sin, in our shame, dressed in grave clothes, we will never be able to understand the depth of God's love. As long as we're focused on the old self, because that's where Satan wants to keep you. I told you, Satan doesn't care beans about you. He doesn't want you. He just wants to rob God of glory from through you. As long as he can keep you in the past, you will never experience the fullness of God today. God wants Christ to feel at home in our hearts. Think about that when you go home today. Have I prepared a heart today where Christ is going to feel comfortable living? You all try to make your homes as nice as possible for you to live. When something's uncomfortable, I'm guessing you fix it or you try to get it fixed as quick as possible. I can't sleep at night if something in our house is broken. I usually call Greg Cole first thing and freak out. And he calms me down and says, we'll get it taken care of. We want it to be comfortable in our houses. That's how Christ wants to be in us. Have we prepared a home where he will be comfortable? Christ does dwell in the heart of every true believer, but not every heart is a comfortable home for him. Don't you want to offer him the best? He promised he's going to live and dwell in you. Shouldn't we make his home comfortable? Christ loved to go to Bethany. If you read the scriptures of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we read about his life. He loved to go to Bethany because his friends there loved him. His friends there fed him. They fed on his word and they served him wherever he went in Bethany. The people loved him. And of course, Christ enjoyed that. It was refreshing for him to go back to Bethany where the people appreciated who he was. When God, who is Christ, came to earth to talk to Abraham or Abram in Genesis 18, he sent two angels ahead to visit Lot in Genesis 19. Why? Because he did not feel at home in the house of a worldly believer. Plain and simple. So the question this morning is, does he feel at home in our hearts? Does Christ feel welcome? Does he feel comfortable? Does he feel at home in your heart today as you are experiencing the fullness of God? Anything that keeps us from experiencing the fullness of God's love also keeps us from being filled with the fullness of God. We need to allow Christ to have free reign over our house. And I'm going to invite you to do a few things this morning. As you're sitting here, and I know that most of you in the pews today have already offered yourself to Jesus Christ. You've accepted his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness. Many of you have been baptized and put to death your old self. But I want to invite you this morning and the rest of this week to allow Christ free reign over your house. Start with your house. Allow him to listen to every conversation you have this week. Every conversation. Allow him to turn on the TV and see exactly what you are watching this week. Allow him to turn on and listen to your music that you listen to all week long. Allow him to go through your phone and your text messages and how much time you spend doing this or that just on your phone this week. Allow Christ to see the secret things that no one else in the world sees this week. Offer that all up to him and make clean his home right here. And to be able to feel free to make any changes that he would like to make for himself to be more comfortable in you. Part of growing in Christ is changing. The day you stop changing, the day you stop growing, is the day you become stagnant in God. He will grow you and he will change you more and more into his likeness till the day you go home to heaven. Christ feels at home in our hearts when he finds faith and he finds love. I just want to encourage you to meditate on that this morning. Obviously, if you need to give your life to Jesus and you've never made that decision and you want to accept his gift of grace, his salvation that he wants to give to you, come forward this morning. We'll get you connected. For the rest of us, meditate on those words this morning. Meditate on the scripture we read this week. And allow Christ to have full reign in your heart so that you may enjoy the fullness of God this week. Would you please stand? And we're going to sing Great is Thy Faithfulness this morning. One more appropriate. Can't think of another appropriate song. But to focus on the faithfulness of God as we prepare this week to offer Him our faithfulness in enjoying His fullness.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.